Wonderful. Let's give the praise band a big hand, all right? I'll tell you. I'm Jim Black. I'm one of the assistant pastors here, and I don't get to sneak into this group very often, but I'm glad to see you today. And if you take your Bible and turn to Acts chapter 13, Pastor Jeff has started a series on the kings, and they're very important to us. In fact, this book that we hold in our hand is very vital and is very current today. As we look at its truths, as we find what's taking place, we make the application in our own life. And so today is such a case as this. Pastor Jeff had talked about Solomon last week, and the week before that he dealt with Saul. And today I'm going to kind of sandwich in between them. In the middle guy is David, King David, a very interesting individual. In fact, we have what is called the Star of David, the Shield of David. We find that hanging over on the flag of Israel even today. And so if we're not careful, we forget to realize that we're dealing with real people who have real issues and real problems. And today the thought is God's guideline for greatness and how we look at God's truth and what is it that God is looking for. And so over in the book of Acts, the 13th chapter, we pick up a few words down in verse 17, and it says this. Notice these thoughts, this history lesson in a nutshell. And the God of this people, of Israel, chose our fathers, an exalted people, when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. With an arm, a high arm, he brought them out of it. And about the time of 40 years, he suffered that their manners or their life or learning in the wilderness would be fulfilled. And when he had destroyed the seven nations in the land of Canaan, verse 19, he divided their land to them by lot. And after he gave unto them judges for about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward they desired a king. And God gave unto them Saul the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto him David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill my will. And of this man's seed hath God, according to his purpose or promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. So we find that God is going to raise up a man by the name of David. The key thought, of course, is he's looking for a man whose heart is like that of God, who has a heart for God, who loves the Lord, whose heart is going to be stayed on God. Now, what has happened is Israel has been led by God in a theocracy. God was leading them. And they began looking at the other nations, these seven nations that it's talking about, and other peoples, and they said, we want a king like everybody else. And Samuel tries to talk them out of this. In fact, if you want to turn back to 1 Samuel 13, we'll be looking at a few thoughts out of that. But in chapter 8, he says to them six different times, if you want another king, it's not going to be good for you. In fact, he says seven times, he says, he will take. He will take, he will take, he will take, he will take, he will take. If you get a king like everybody else, he's not going to give you and provide for you. He's going to take from you. And yet the Bible says, nevertheless, the people said, give us a king. Are you crazy? Have you lost your mind? You've got a God who provides for you, who has fed you, who has given you water in the wilderness and made sure every need is taken care of. And now you want a king who's on the take? And they said, that's what we want. And so we find the man by the name of Saul that is raised up to be king, the son of Kish. The Bible says that, of course, his reputation, he was from Benjamin. We talk about the reputation of Abiel and Zeor and Kerath, and we find that these men were mighty men. And so he has a wonderful appearance. He's tall, strong, he's everything that they want. And so he rules for about 40 years. But God says something about him. because we find that Saul denies the Lord. In 1 Samuel chapter 13, in verse 13, "And Samuel said to Saul, Thou hast done foolishly. You have not kept the commandments of the Lord your God, which has commanded thee. For now the Lord would have established his kingdom, the kingdom of Israel, forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has brought and sought a man after his own heart. And the Lord has commanded him to be captain over his people, because you have not kept that which the Lord has commanded you." And the Bible says in chapter 15, in verse 17, "And Samuel said, When you were little in your own sight," talking to Saul, were you not made head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed you king over Israel?" Saul, when you were small in your own eyes, when you weren't such a big shot, when you listened to God, God raised you up and allowed you to be king. When you were small in your own eyes. You know, sometimes in life we get too big for our own britches. Sometimes we think we're more than we really are. Sometimes we think we're beyond having to listen to anyone. We're above the rules and above God. And that's what happened to Saul. When he was small and humble, and he realized it wasn't his, it was God's, and God anointed him and raised him up to be king, things were good. And Samuel, who loved Saul, was brokenhearted and said, "When you were small in your own eyes." You know, you can't always believe everything people say about you. Amen? Sometimes it's like putting whipped cream on an onion. It just doesn't work. And you've got to figure it out and say, "Wait a minute, Lord, what's going on?" Saul, he has his own ideas, his own plans. He's self-willed. In fact, Saul does something that's amazing. He does the right things, but he does them the wrong way. One time he goes in to offer a sacrifice to the Lord, and the priest isn't around. He said, "I'll just do it myself." Well, you can't do that. Now, we would complain, because he would complain to us, say, "Can you believe I went in there to worship God, and they told me I couldn't go in, and God took from me my kingdom because I wouldn't listen." One time he was to kill all the enemies and all of the herds, and yet he kept some. He said, "Well, I'm going to keep the best for a sacrifice." God didn't tell you to keep the best. He said, "Destroy them." Remember in the Bible, we got a couple boys, they've got the Ark of the Covenant on a cart, which it shouldn't have been on the cart. And it goes to tip off, and they reach over to stabilize it and keep it from falling off. And when they touch it, they die. Well, that doesn't seem like it. Well, they were just doing good. You know, you have to be very careful. You don't get involved in trying to do something legitimate in an illegitimate way. That was Saul's problem, and he loses. And God's going to replace him. Now, the key thought, of course, is who will God choose? Who's going to take this big man's place? Who's going to take this leader's place, this major figure's place? And the Lord said, "I'm looking for someone who has a heart for me." Thus the guidelines that we're talking about. In 1 Samuel 16, if you're in that area, over in verse 7, we find that Samuel goes down to the house of Jesse. And they're a little nervous about that because the preacher shows up. You know, people get a little nervous when the pastor knocks on the door. You open the door and Pastor Jeff is there and you say, "Hello, wait a minute, honey. I knocked on the door years ago and I didn't call." You know, in those days you didn't give a warning, you just showed up. And just about the time I went to knock on the door, I heard the people inside having a very loud conversation. It was not nice. But I had already hit the door, bing, 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 and a guy opens the door and he yanks the door open and he sees me there. And he says, "Sweetheart, it's Pastor Jim. Pastor Jim. Pastor Jim is here." They were in there having a fight. And she walked up. She says, "Well, hello, Pastor Jim. What brings you here?" I'm thinking the same thing. I have no idea. And then he says, "Did you hear?" And I said, "Yeah, man, I heard." He said, "We were having a little fight." "No, you were having a big fight." I said, "Should I come back?" And they said, "You might want to come in." I said, "I don't want to come in." But if they'd have known I was going to show up, I'm sure it would have been a little different. Samuel shows up and he says, "I'm here to anoint the next king of Israel." What? "One of your boys are going to be the king of Israel." No. Yeah. So he says, "Can you bring your boys in?" So the first boy comes in, Eliab, tall, strapping, strong. And Samuel said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before me. That's him. Look at him." And God said, "Nope, not him." Any more boys? Another boy. Another boy. Another boy. Another boy. Another boy. Another boy. He said, "Do you have any more boys?" He said, "I got a little boy out here in the pasture with the sheep. A little ruddy guy. Not much to look at. Well, go get him." And in he comes. And here he is, the new king of Israel. A shepherd boy. A little ruddy guy. And God says this, "And the Lord said to Samuel, look not on his countenance, nor on the height of his stature, because I have refused him," speaking of Eliab. "For the Lord sees not as a man sees, and the Lord looks not on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." The heart. Acts, it says that the Lord was looking from the house of Jesse a man after his own heart. In the book of 2 Kings 9 and verse 4, it says, "And if you walk before me as David your father walked in the integrity of his heart." The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Your heart. David, there's the boy that's going to now become the man of God, the king of Israel, a man after my own heart. His heart. Man looks for people that have reputation, but God's making judgments on character. David was dependable. He was a songwriter. He was a magician. He was a wise strategist. He was a warrior. He was fearless. He would become king. But his greatest attribute was his heart. His heart. I don't know who you are in here today, but I'm going to tell you something. God is concerned about your heart. You come from different walks of life. Not everyone understands where you've come from and where you're at and maybe where you're headed. But God does. And David's heart was a heart for God. And his heart captured God's heart. And God uses him and anoints him as king. Let me give you a couple points. First point is this. David's response to problems. He had a repentant heart. If you know anything about David, you know that sometimes in his life he sinned. Now, I know you don't sin in this group. The next hour has all the sinners in it. But you're a good group. I know you never do anything wrong in here. But David realized that he was going to sin. And he did sin. And he realized that he couldn't hide his sin from God. And God loved his honesty. One time he looked over and he saw a woman and he said, "Ooh, boy, call her up here and have her come up for tea and cookies." And the next thing you know, she's pregnant. And his life is a mess. We say it pretty fast, but a lot of people are hurt in that problem. A lot of heartbreak. A lot of sadness. A lot of crushed lives. Listen to his heart in Psalm 51. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to your multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me." I hear him in his quiet place, nobody around. And he begins praying. And God hears him and says, "That's why I love that man. His heart. His heart." You know, God shares with us the successes of David and his failures. Don't cover your sin. Confess your sin. Don't say, well, everything is fine. And listen, you know what's going on in your life. You know what draws you away. Every man is enticed and drawn away with his own lust. He's enticed by his own weakness and sin. And all of us have issues. Your issue may not be mine and mine not yours or someone else's yours. But we all have something that seems to draw us away. And we say, God, help me and strengthen me. And we have a repentant heart. We're quick to turn to the Lord. In fact, in Psalm 51, it says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, broken and contrite heart God will not despise. And we come to God brokenhearted and we say, God, we've sinned against you. Satan loves to bring up our sin. I had a man, he was praying. He said, every time I'm praying, all I remember about how bad I've been in the past. And he said, but I got a new thing I'm doing. When the devil reminds me of my past, he says, I remind the devil of his future. Amen. Listen, we're not talking about perfect people here. We're not talking about us who don't have problems and heartbreaks and make mistakes and sin in our life. David was quick. Do you cover your sin? Do you deny your sin? Do you blame others for your sin? Or do you do as David did, quickly repent? He had a repenting heart. Secondly, we find David's response to pressure. In pressure in life, he had a trusting heart. You know, it's amazing. It says, I called upon the Lord in my distress, in Psalm 118. And the Lord answered me and set me in a large place. And the Lord is on my right side. I will not fear what man can do to me. He had stresses in life. But in all of the stress, all of the pressures of life, he had a trusting heart. Huh. He had the conflict in life. Even when he was going up to check on his brothers and he was there looking over the valley of Elah, his own brother said, oh, who are you up here talking about fighting a giant? He looked at a Goliath and he says, somebody ought to go down and take that guy out. And there he was. No one else looking at this man challenging him. And he said, I'll go fight him. Oh, yeah, well, sure you are. And he had that pressure. He had the pressure of ruling and leading. You know, you get involved in leading people. It's amazing. My barber one time, he was telling me how he was going to solve all the problems. I said, why don't you just be president? You've got it all figured out. Holy smokes, what are you doing in here? Isn't it amazing? I've never played soccer one day in my life that I can remember, really soccer. But I watched it the other day, and I'm sure everybody's complaining because somebody didn't kick the ball into the goal. I didn't see you out there kicking any balls and any goals. But see, we're real good at complaining. When you're leading, you have problems. The criticism, there's a pressure of being criticized. He had family tragedy. He had a daughter that was molested. One time he came back to his town and his family was all kidnapped. And the Bible says he wept until he had no more power to weep. And all of this, not only did he have a repentant heart, but he said, Lord, in my distress I call and I trust you. My flesh and my heart fails, but God, you give me strength in my heart. Psalm 73, in my portion forever. He learned what it was to trust the Lord under pressure. Thirdly, we find that David's response to purpose in life. By the way, God has a purpose and plan for you. I know that. The older I get, the more I realize that in life. I would have never dreamed that I would ever be here when I was 17 years of age. If you would have said, one of these days you're going to be preaching down at this church in Florida, when I was 17, I was right. And you're going to take the next ship to Mars. I know. What are you, nuts? But I always knew there was a God. I just couldn't get it figured out. God has a purpose. And when we have a purpose in heart, here's what he had. He had a servant's heart. In Acts 13:22, the end of the verse is, which shall fulfill my will. All my will. His purpose is going to be, he's going to fulfill the will of God in his life. He's going to do what I want him to do. He's going to do it, first of all, wholeheartedly. He's going to live for God wholeheartedly. Excuse me. In fact, he says, with my whole heart have I sought you. Oh, let not me wander from your commandments. Psalm 119:10. Wholeheartedly. He said, I want to do your will, God, wholeheartedly. Now, he had problems. And he had to keep drawing himself back to God, saying, God, help me. He had a servant's heart. That's the thought today. The greatness of David was his heart, a servant's heart. In fact, the disciples said, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom?" And in Matthew 23:11, it says, "But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant." And he was serving. He was helping. He served his generation in his life. He had a focused heart. He knew where he was at. He knew where he was going. The Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us, that we might run with patience the race that is set before us." You know, isn't it amazing some of the junk we carry, and we're trying to run a race? It's amazing. And so what we do is we lay that down and we say, "God, help me to be focused." Some things are not necessarily wrong. They're just not necessary at all. We're carrying all this stuff and we're trying to impress everybody. We say, "God, it's you." David had a sacrificial heart. And his servant, he was wholehearted, a servant's heart, a focused heart. And he was willing to sacrifice. One time, he was given a bunch of things to give to the Lord. And he said this in the book of 2 Samuel 24, verse 24, in the middle of the verse. And he says, "Will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which does cost me nothing? I want to give what I have worked for and that I have earned in God's blessing, and I want to give it back." We have people get all upset because we sometimes talk about tithing.
"Well, that's my money.
Oh, I have to go ahead and give a little bit of money, help somebody get a seat on a bus. Why don't they get their own seat on the bus?" And, you know, we go there. But David says, "I'm not going to sacrifice something that doesn't cost me something. I'm going to have, quote, some skin in the game. I'm going to give up something that I like." It's amazing. I have a little Chinese restaurant around the corner here from our church next to our thrift store. Have you ever been over there? How many have been to the thrift store? Okay. All right. We gave away a bunch of things at the thrift store one day, and I was waiting for the Chinese food to get warm. And so they said, "It'll be 20 minutes." And I said, "Okay." And so instead of going to there, I went inside the thrift store and I bought my own shirt back. I said, "Man, now that is a nice shirt." I bought the shirt, but put it in the bag. I took it home. My wife said, "I thought I gave that shirt to the thrift store." I said, I thought that was a nice shirt." So don't go in there waiting for your food to get ready, okay? You might buy your own stuff back. I said, "That is a nice shirt. I don't fit in it any longer." I've learned my stuff hangs in the closet so long, it shrinks. Have you ever noticed that? So I give it to the thrift store. And then I eat Chinese and wonder why. I know why. Oh, God, help me. He had a sacrificial heart. Do you serve the Lord grudgingly or gratefully? Are you focused or confused? Are you selfish or sacrificial? David had a heart that was a servant's heart, a trusting heart, a repentant heart. Here's another thought. David's response to prestige. He had a humble heart. When you patted David on the head, his head didn't swell. Many people have more difficulty with success than they do with failure. We'd like to talk about how many times we've... But sometimes we succeed and then we think we're something. I had a guy take off the other day at a place I was at. He took off in his own helicopter off his own boat. I said, "Man, that guy's got a helicopter on his boat." And he says, "Yeah." I said, "That's not a boat, that's a ship." But when I met the guy, I didn't know he had all that money, or I'd have been nicer to him. He was so humble, so nice. I even was going to buy him a hot dog. And I said, "That's it. He's got that." Yeah. What in the world? But he wasn't a wannabe, he was a bee. David said this in Psalm 115, verse 1, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto your name give glory, for your mercy and for your truth's sake. Not unto us, not unto me, not unto me, but unto you. He said, I was just a boy in a shepherd's field. Dad called me in and I ran in the house and a man anointed me with oil and said I was going to be the next king of Israel and that from my throne would come the Messiah, the Savior, Jesus. Just a second ago, I was in the field watching sheep chasing these little bird-brained animals all around, making sure they were safe and taken care of. And the Lord, He's my shepherd, not unto me, but unto you, O God. Let there be praise and glory and honor. He said this, and we find it in the book of Psalms, for promotion comes neither from the east or from the west or from the south. Where it comes from above, it comes from God. It's God that blesses us. Are you humble or are you haughty? You think you're something, you're too good to be kind to people and help people? It's amazing to me how David had a heart for God. Oh, he was a warrior. He was a great songwriter. He had all the successes. And he was humble. His prayers, his praise, he was humble. I wondered, how do you handle praises and successes and good things in your life? Most of us have been blessed of God in such wonderful ways and we don't thank Him. David was a unique man. He had a heart that God loved. Repentant heart. He had a heart that was trusting when he didn't understand or like things. Even when he wept, he served and he was humble. In fact, the Bible says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong. 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. To show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect to him. I'm not talking about being perfect people, but I'm talking about a heart that is in love with the Lord. And when you get out of line, you say, God, help me. When you need help, you trust him. When you have the ability, you serve him. And when you're patted on the back and patted on the head, you understand who you are and who he is and what this whole thing is about. Maybe you're here today, you've never accepted Christ as Savior. I remember that day in my life when I came into a church like this. And they brought me down and they set me in a certain section. I thought that's where all the sinners sat because the guy talked to me completely. I said, man, that girl has given this guy a note on me. He is in my kitchen. And I trusted Christ as Savior. What a great day that was. By the way, I was a happy sinner. I didn't even know I wasn't happy. I was the happiest sinner you ever saw. I walked in lost, walked out saved. Life changed. Maybe that's you today. You say, I've got everything. I got the world by the tail and the downhill swing. What have you gained if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? Nothing. But if you trust the Lord, He'll change your life. He'll take out the stony heart and put in a heart of flesh, a heart that can be related and connected to God. I wonder what kind of a heart you have today. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Every head bowed just for a minute. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, forget about the people left of you, right of you, behind you or in front of you. But think about your heart. What is your relationship today with the Lord? What kind of a heart do you have? You say, Jim, I'm so unworthy. I don't even belong in this church. I'm such a sinner. God loves you and wants to cleanse you. And if you're unsaved, He wants to save you. Maybe today you'd say, Lord, I need to be saved. That's me. He's talking to me. I've never trusted you as Savior. Maybe you'd pray a prayer like this today and mean it in your heart. Dear Lord, I confess I'm a sinner. And today I admit that I need you and I receive you as my Savior. Save me today. God knows your heart. Maybe today that was your prayer. Maybe today you've got some things you need to take care of. You say, God, help me in my weakness. This thing keeps dragging me. This is my Achilles heel. This is my problem. God, help me. Well, God allows that to come to humble us. Maybe you need to serve the Lord and use your gifts and abilities for Him. Let's let God have His way in our hearts today. Let's stand for a word of prayer together. Everyone standing for a moment. Let me pray with you. And as we pray, I'm going to have Pastor Tim close us in prayer. But listen to me. Let God have His way in your heart today. And let Him work in your heart. And let your life be a great life, not because of who you are, but because of who He is. Amen and amen.